You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Should be an awesome program if I do say so myself, and I think I just did. So good morning to everybody out there. I'm Michael McNamara, in your host and moderator. Tell you what we're gonna do today. First of all, Lynch Kenny and Will Cosentini gonna join me today. In about an hour. So, and we have like five topics to talk about. Now, normally we can hardly get to two. Okay, so, I'm going to lay the heavy hand of the moderator down. That's right. The heavy hand of the moderator. So, I'm going to require us to be disciplined and lay out discussion points, and then we'll come back. We'll come back and we'll argue about those things. So here are the topics. Evolution versus revolution in military affairs. You heard evolution versus transformation. You hear this constant, you know, discussion of, oh, transformation in military affairs. Really? Is it really? Or is it just a normal march? So when have we actually had true transformations, and what were they? So we'll talk about that. And that's spawned by, you know, this whole thing about, oh, you know, drones, this and that. All of a sudden, you have, you know, a solution for drones. Lasers. Yeah. Lasers zap them out of the sky. Zipped. Done. Psst. Done. Psst. Done. Psst. Done. Drone swarm. Beep, 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 beep. Done, 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 done. Out of the sky. So, anyway. And this is one example. So, you know, something you think is, oh, this is transformational in nature. Yeah, guess what? Give somebody a few months, a year, and watch what happens. All of a sudden, it's not a transformation anymore. Oh, my God. But that transformation, quote unquote, right, was trumpeted and then used as the basis for other stuff. So, kind of like fake news. Yeah. So, that's one topic. Next, AAR points for the COVID-19 thing. And I'll restrict them to one or two. Give me one or two points for the after-action report that's going to be written about the COVID-19 virus. And we'll go around the horn on that. Three, why now in Hong Kong? China is essentially in the crosshairs of the world for its, I don't know how you would care to color, sort of see, characterize their lack of candor in their response to the coronavirus. So now to double down on that, or maybe it's to change the narrative. Maybe they don't want things to go. They're more comfortable with dealing with, you know, the Hong Kong thing than they are where the COVID-19 thing is going. So maybe it's an effort to redirect the energy. But anyway, we'll ask our panel of experts why they think why now. And then we talked to Grant Nuchin about that. And then all out of Afghanistan by November. Yay? Is that true? What do you think? And so evidently the Pentagon. So before, when I read the headline earlier this week, my thought was, oh, that means everybody but the residual force. Maybe it means no residual force. So that in the news, so we'll talk about that. And then kind of a personal question. What was the best piece of equipment, the best military thing you ever used while you were on active duty? So we'll ask everybody that too. So, yeah, so that's going to be hour two. I want to talk about, we've been talking about COVID-19 responses. And it occurred to me, you know, when we deal with other emergencies, how do we deal with them? We have people that deal with emergencies that deal with them. Why don't we let the mayor come down and run the response to the tornado? Well, the mayor isn't really trained to run the response to the tornado. We have an emergency manager. You know, we have different people that roll in and do that. But the why not? Well, we don't need a politician doing that, do we? Well, I mean, he's the mayor and all that. She's the mayor and all that. So, but they preside over this pandemic response, I think, with predictable failure, simply not up to the task. And you see that across the board. You know, some do better than others, but I'd say by and large, the majority of them fail terribly. Not very good at dynamic decision making, and the consequences will be paid for by people, by taxpayers, and other people losing jobs for months. So, to me, maybe the next time we have an emergency operations center that's devoted to pandemic response, and you have professionals in there advising, you know, the mayor, and not simply the public health people screaming about millions of people that are going to die and all the rest of this shit. So anyway, just a thought. All out by November. Interesting, right? So there's an article in a publication called Business Insider. Let me see if I can find it. I was reading at it. It's called "We Lost the War in Afghanistan, Time to Come Home." Written by who? Written by Blogit and Plotz. David Plotz. You will no doubt be shocked to hear the situation in Afghanistan is a mess. Under the new peace agreement signed in February, the U.S. will withdraw all of its forces from Afghanistan by May of 2021 if the Taliban generally behaves itself, which it isn't. The Taliban is murdering Afghan soldiers by the dozen daily. Now comes the news that President Trump may want to accelerate the U.S. withdrawal and bring all U.S. personnel home by November. Defense Department officials are briefing him soon with the choice of five options for winding down the war. Tea leaf reading suggests Trump wants a pre-election exit. And the Pentagon and Senate allies are leaking that news to prompt a backlash that will slow the exit until May of 2021. Trump undoubtedly believes bringing everyone home will be a fine campaign point. And maybe that's the only reason he's pushing for a quick pullout. But he's also right that the sooner the better. For 19 years, the generals and their hawkish pals in Congress have been telling us a delusional story about a war that could be won. Direly warning of regional destabilization and global terrorism if we leave Afghanistan. But it's long past time to face the fact that we've lost the war. We cannot defeat the Taliban. This is a painful admission. You know, and this is just an aside. This is not the article. This is me. Again, I hope, Chef's going to come on tomorrow, by the way. I hope that, somebody carves in stone in the Pentagon, right? Stay away from insurgencies. They're bad business. They're horrible business. Go back to the article, right? We cannot defeat the Taliban. This is a painful admission, since so many Americans fought so well and so nobly to try to protect the country from the Taliban's theocratic thugs. It's even worse because we also know that many Afghan allies who helped us will suffer at the hands of the Taliban when we leave, and the region may well become more unstable. But we can't fall victim into the sunk cost fallacy. The fact that we've been there 19 years, lost 2,300 service members, spent trillions and haven't achieved our goal shouldn't make us want to stay longer. It should make us want to get out tomorrow and not waste one more life or one more dollar on a lost cause. At the same time, across the Atlantic, So, out by November. Wow. Think that'll happen. And this whole argument for residual force, is there anything that the residual force cannot do from outside the country that it could do from inside the country? Interesting question, right? So if we say, and what is the role of the residual force in a partnered government between the Afghan and the Afghanistan federal government and the Taliban? Right? What is it? Would the United States be allowed a role? I'm not exactly sure of that. Okay, so if you look at the region, right? So if you go to the Gulf of Oman, and you would have to fly over Iranian airspace to get to southern Afghanistan, you got to go through Pakistan, okay? If you come out of India, you still got to go over Pakistan. Got to go over Turkmenistan or Uzbekistan to get there if you come from the north. So could we do that? Would we just violate their airspace? Would Pakistan allow us if we said, hey, we want to go whack some guys in there and launched it from a carrier down in the Persian Gulf? I wonder, could you? Why not? Could you simply violate Iranian airspace and say, go to hell, we don't care? So that's a good question. That's a good question. So we'll ask that today. The other big story, it's kind of interesting intellectual story, and that is Twitter decides to fact check the president. Now, politicians in general play fast and loose with the truth, right? The flamethrower in chief, right? He's raised that to a new level. Okay. Now, it's interesting that you have the Taliban, you have ISIS, right? You have all kinds of organizations that take to Twitter to espouse their bullshit. I don't ever recall hearing that Twitter tagged something that they wrote that Twitter tag something they wrote and say, yeah, this is, you need to, you know, this is not factually. I don't recall that. Interesting, eh? So now, who gets scrutinized? What's the methodology? Now, interestingly enough, I want to say the New York Post revealed the identity of one of the guys who's, you know, a fact checker at Twitter. And he's on record as saying that people in the Trump administration are Nazis. So I'm not sure you want that guy, right, as your fact checker, because it makes your country, it makes your company look like assholes, right? Partisan assholes, which is fine because the world is full of them. But my and what'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, if you stop being simply a platform, which means you don't screen content, we're just here, man. We're not like Facebook's, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. I saw a clip from an interview, but Mark Zuckerberg says, hey, look, we're not the thought police, man. You know, we're not the thought police, and we don't want to be the thought police. All right, interesting. But again, that's the argument that we're just a platform. People say what they want. You can unfollow. You can not read. You can, you know, you can do all that. But we're just a platform. Now, what's important about being a platform is, and that position for your business is this. You have limited liability. You're not liable for what goes through the platform. Okay. Once you become a publisher, like all publishers, you're responsible for your content. So once you begin the review of content and then allow the publication of content, you become a publisher. So to me, that's what Twitter's dancing around. And honestly, you might want to like, let's fact check like low hanging. We're not going to make it so obvious by going after the president right away that we hate that guy. Why don't we fact check, you know, the Communist Party of China? Why don't we fact check Vladimir Putin? Why don't we fact check some of the other people? Why would we start with the president of the United States? You know, Twitter people aren't stupid. Did it deliberately. So it's going to be an interesting, going to be an interesting little dance they do. Is that if Twitter becomes a publisher and people can sue them for the stuff that gets said on Twitter, they won't be around for very long. They will not be around for very long. I tell you about the Wall Street Journal, right? There's a few editorials you should read from the last few days. One, Hong Kong in shock as China's Xi Jinping goes for the nuclear option. Subheadline: new security legislation reveals Chinese leader's willingness to alter the city's special status. And he's so doing. So that is worth your time, I would tell you. There's another one. Give me a second while I flip pages. Entitled, "The Liberal-Leaning Media Has Passed the Tipping Point," written by Gordon Van Souder. Now, talks about the media is so biased, right, that the thing they ought to do is just admit it. All right, stop the masquerade that they're trying to be neutral. Dan Abrams, ABC's chief legal affairs anchor and founder of the website Mediate, has a novel but valuable idea for the media: candor. Speaking on the matter at February's Rancho Mirage Writers Festival, Mr. Abrams said, quote, "I think the first thing that would help is to admit that the people in the media are left of center. What? What? Just like tell the truth? Like who would say that? Right? I mean, the media, they never said that. It would be delightful if a publisher, an editor, a reporter would just say, yes, I'm left of center, exclamation mark. I'm proud of it. I think our reporting is accurate. It best serves the public and the credibility of the media. So there, exclamation mark. Publications open about their bias might feel freer to focus on the specific story selection, presentation, facts, fairness, balance. Not devoid of subtlety for sure, but manageable. Journalism affects social cohesion. Convinced of its role and its legitimacy, however, the media doesn't seem to much care. And the other side can certainly enjoy throwing rotten tomatoes at distant targets. But America won't reunite until far more people can look at a news story in print or on the screen and, of all things, believe it. Whoa! Yeah. So how about admitting your bias and say, here's our reporting. Knowing that you could trust the reports, but you can't. So that's a pipe dream. Another interesting little opinion piece in the journal is something called the Wall Street. It's called the Blue State Lockdown Blues. And this is written by the editorial board. Under the guise of flattening the curve, right, the American economy got shut down for 10 weeks. The slowest states to come out of that are New York, New Jersey, California, and Illinois, all governed by Republican governors that want to be dictators. They comprise, I want to say, about a third of the American economy. I'll just read you a couple snippets. Democrats think they can make businesses go dark for months and then use a dimmer switch to turn them back on. It's more complicated. Businesses need suppliers and paying customers. This is why the economic recovery will be especially painful in Democratic states that stay locked down longer. Now, and again, here's the problem. And you heard Governor Cuomo talk about it. They think that the federal government's going to come and somehow or other rescue them. And I think, you know, why are the citizens of Oklahoma going to rescue the people of the state of New York for the sins of the governor of New York? Why are the people from Wyoming going to rescue the people from California because the governor decided, yeah, I was going to slow roll it when other people didn't? I don't know that they should. So the opinion piece ends like this. Even while forcing non-essential private businesses to shut down, most of these governors aren't asking public unions for any sacrifices. Three times more healthcare workers in New York and New Jersey have lost their jobs than government employees. Mr. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, in case you don't know, has refused to defer a $260 million pay raise due this July for state workers. Mr. Newsom is an exception, having asked civil servants to take a 10% temporary pay cut, though unions say they plan to negotiate him down from that number. Democrats are begging Congress for budget relief, but they're still and again, I don't get that. You have the power to tax. Why do you need me to tax as a federal government to give you money? You tax. So I don't get that. Democrats are begging Congress for budget relief, but they're still planning to raise taxes to finance worker pensions that they don't want to reform. Mr. Murphy, right, who's in New Jersey, wants a higher millionaire's tax. Illinois Democrats are pushing a November referendum to make the state's flat tax progressive. Unions in California are collecting signatures, blah, 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 blah. Mr. Cuomo said over the weekend that New York's economy won't bounce back quickly and will need federal help. Yet the same states that are loudest in demanding a federal rescue have hurt themselves the most with long, strict lockdowns and tax and spend policy. So, again, I will tell you, I recently, I think for a dollar or two, hopped on one of those 90-day subscriptions to the Wall Street Journal. And I will tell you, it is clearly the best written stuff that I've read in a long time. You know, and I don't say that only because I'm a conservative, but I mean, they write good, thoughtful pieces, and so I've enjoyed it. I don't know what I'm going to do when my subscription runs out, but, you know, I will certainly seriously consider finding a way, right, to do that again. Good morning, Mac. Hey, do you get the History Channel? I don't know. I have Google TV. Is the history on there? YouTube TV. There's a three-part miniseries on General Grant from his childhood through the Civil War. It is a great story of who, as a young man, it is a great story of who was a young man and a general. A very aggressive-minded officer who is also underrated. Be well. Some Dave and Vacaville. Jeff is watching the Grant series. He recommended that Tim and I watch it. So that's come up. So I'll get Jeff to comment on it today here when he joins us here in about 32 minutes. The Grant series on the History Channel. I'd read different things about it and heard it was going to be pretty good. So we'll check some headlines here in a minute. United States Marine Corps band makes Thursday official. Going to go get a haircut tomorrow. How excited am I? I'm fired up, to be honest with you. No kidding. Get to go get a haircut. Yeah, my barber, Randy, who's Vietnamese. He's Lieutenant Colonel in the Vietnamese Army. Yeah, he's my barber. Down in San Clemente. So I'm going to go see Randy tomorrow at Senor Barber. Yeah, and Randy, I think he spent 9 years in a quote-unquote re-education camp. Every night, you sat on this bamboo, it was in like a barrack, so, it was a long, it ran the length of the barracks, and it was like a platform, you know, just that you sat on that was flat. And it had kind of a mildly slanted back so that you could lean against it. And your feet, your ankles were ironed in. There was like an iron gate that was dropped on everybody's ankles. You had to have your ankles in the right spot. And then there was this thing that went around your neck. Yeah, he said he did that for 9 years. Then got to come to the United States. So he's my barber. Yeah, he volunteers at the VA, too. Joe Galloway, 2 weeks ago, talked about the Vietnamese people being one of the greatest gifts to the American democracy in the last 50 years. And Randy's emblematic of that. I asked him, so what do you do at the VA? He said, I volunteer there. And I just looked at him. I said, dude, you're all right. Anyway, so good morning to you here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. this is dedicated to everybody at Twitter. Good luck to you guys, because you're going to need it. I think you may have gone through a looking glass that, and again, the president aside, the number of people that take to Twitter that talk shit, right? Who's going to fact check all that? Or is it only selectively applied? Right? So I'm not sure that you know what you've done to your business, but you're going to find out, and probably not going to be good. So dedicated to you, good luck.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right. Time to do the weather. Currently raining in 74 in Quantico, cloudy in 80 at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, 29 Palms, warm again, sunny in 89 already out in the high desert, clouds in 64 at Pendleton, dark cloudy 71 at Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 74 in Okinawa, evening cloudy and 91 degrees in South Central Afghanistan, and in Western Iraq in the Al Anbar province, it is cloudy and 104 late in day. At the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy and 63. Gonna get to a beautiful 72 degrees today. 69 on Friday, and then on Saturday, 73. So pretty mild weather here in Southern California. We'll take a break. We'll check news headlines when we come back here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen and I will be painting today. Yep. Yeah, coming to the end of my backyard project. Throw a little paint on the stucco after we patched it yesterday, and then we'll and that's kind of a sand color, and then which is what the rest of the house is, and then after that, we will we'll paint the patio that I scrubbed the glue off of with Rudy's help. We'll paint that like terracotta color, but I want just like a hue deeper than the light terracotta color. Yeah, a little bit deeper. So, anyway, Yeah. So we'll be painting today. It won't take long, though, because it's like one wall. It's actually two walls, but they both got sliding doors on them, so it's really the equivalent of one wall. So, yeah, we'll do that. To the news. Stars and Stripes, top of the fold headline. Airmen won't be mandated to wear new boots and T-shirts and flag patches until September 1 due to the pandemic. It does not want to induce unnecessary stress on service members. All right. Mm-hmm. A soldier saves lives by ramming vehicle into a shooter. A Fort Leavenworth soldier stopped a shooting spree when he rammed his vehicle into a gunman who had just wounded another soldier, police said, in Kansas. Yeah, what a cool story, huh? One soldier was seriously injured in the shooting on the Centennial Bridge in Leavenworth, Kansas, when the suspect was taken and the suspect was taken into custody after another soldier intervened. Leavenworth police have been called to investigate a report of a person firing shots on the bridge. It's unclear what led to the suspect seemingly firing shots at random on the bridge. Leavenworth Police Chief Pat Kitchens said, but one person was struck, the active duty soldier who appeared to be an unintended target. Kitchens said another soldier from Fort Leavenworth was waiting in traffic when he witnessed the shooting. The soldier intervened, he said, by striking the shooter with his vehicle, ran the son of a bitch over. Kitchens said the soldier's actions brought an end to the shooting, likely saving countless lives. The soldier's name not been released. So, cool story, though, huh? This story's been around for about a week. Okay? And I'm not sure who first wrote it. This is a Stars and Stripes story. Gabriel Ramirez spent his childhood dreaming of being a Marine. But the dream seemed unattainable as a 365-pound teen whose nickname was Meatball. This week, Ramirez, 18 years old, was on his way to boot camp, 186 pounds lighter. At the end of Ramirez's sophomore year at Rancho Buena Vista High School in California, Marine recruiter Staff Sergeant Anna Rodriguez spoke to his class and later asked him about his interest. The kids I talked to, one thing I look for is heart, Rodriguez said in a phone interview Wednesday. I'm looking for someone that won't quit and will accept a challenge. The talk made a big impression. Ramirez of Oceanside, California, said in a service statement prior to leaving for Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego. She looked at me, not at my weight, Ramirez said in the statement. She told me, it's all up to you if you want it. And from there, I got her card. In his junior year, Ramirez sometimes doubted he could both get in shape and improve his test scores enough to get into the service. But after he saw Rodriguez again, he visited recruiting substation Oceanside and worked out with the Marines there. I did my first workout with them and it killed me, Ramirez said. I ran a 26 minute mile and a half. Right? Not 3 miles, right? So that means he'd run 3 miles if he could get through it in 52 minutes. I couldn't do any pull-ups and I couldn't even do 20 crunches. But they always encouraged me, motivated me, and pushed me. Ramirez continued for a while, but at one point the obstacles in his life got to be too much, he said in a statement. He put all the weight he had lost back on and stopped coming to work out. Rodriguez called him and asked him what happened. He said, why are you wasting your time with me? Quote, there were a lot of people that put Gabriel down, and I would tell him, you can be upset, or you can show them you won't be the person they think you are. Rodriguez kept motivating him, at times texting or calling him. Ramirez lost the weight, graduated from high school last year when he was 17, and has enlisted for an infantry job. She told me to stop doubting myself and just put my mind to it and what I want to accomplish. I was the only one that could make this happen for me. No one else could do it for me. How about that as a story, man? She changed that kid's life. He lost almost 200 pounds. There's a picture of him, right, as 365 pounds, and there's a picture of him holding the guide on for RS Oceanside, recruiting substation Oceanside. Wow. I love those stories, man. It's it's what I miss about not doing post-traumatic winning. Post-traumatic winning is an addictive drug, man. I miss not doing post-traumatic winning, and doing it here on the radio, is okay, but it's not like, meeting people and all of a sudden you become part of their lives. So I'm excited. It'll start up here again in June and excited to do that. But it's these kind of stories, though. She forever changed that guy's life by telling him, hey, man, you need to believe in you. You need to believe in you. Let's see. The Navy has completed its probe into the coronavirus outbreak aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt. And have they released any? More than 1,150 Roosevelt sailors, one of them died, tested positive for the illness after the outbreak began aboard the aircraft carrier in March. The CNO has received and is reviewing the command investigation. To me, it's an interesting case study because, as I said yesterday, there's one guy on active duty that's died of COVID-19. One. Two other reservists have died from it. That has great lessons for the next time this happens. Right? That has great lessons for the next time this or something like it happens. From Just the News. Twitter claims no evidence of mail-in voter fraud despite numerous convictions since 2016. So Twitter, now the fact police, says no evidence of mail-in voter fraud despite numerous convictions since 2016. So there you have it. And that's the road that Twitter will go down now. And I'm going to tell you they're going to get it shoved down their throat. You want to weigh into the midst of that? Good luck. And again, you want to keep your legal protections as a platform and say you're not skewing content. I don't know how you thread that needle. Honestly, I don't think you can. I think the Twitter thing is, pretty, it's going to be a pretty interesting little event. New cyber office will unify NAVSEA's digital efforts. So I'm kind of curious about the whole digital thing relative to next generation warfare, peer warfare, and all of that. Right? Would we cut the fiber optic cables? Interesting. Right? Interesting. Top stories of Marine Corps Times today. We're going to take a break here in a few minutes, and then Lynch, Kenny, and Cosentini will join us. Colt 1911 pistol carried by Marine on Iwo Jima going up for auction. I'd like to own that. I have one. It's not a Colt, though. It's a knockoff of a Colt. The firearm sold alongside numerous other items, including an original annotated map of the Iwo Jima assault plans, belonged to Marine combat photographer Sergeant Arthur Keeley, K-E-I-L-Y. What did they take their, they took their sidearms home? A Connecticut native, Keeley joined the Marine Corps after working as a civilian photographer and would go on to serve under and develop a close relationship with Lieutenant General Holland Mad Smith. Holland M. Smith, known as Howling Mad, the iconic general known as the mastermind behind amphibious assault strategies throughout the Pacific, presented the map to Keeley as the Battle of Iwo Jima neared its end, according to the item's description on the Rock Island auction page. In addition to the pistol and the map, numerous pictures taken by Keeley are included in the auction package. Reconnaissance and battlefield photos of Iwo, as well as multiple photos featuring Keeley in places like Saipan, Tarawa, and some of the highlighted images. Notably, one depicts Keeley moving through a field on Saipan with a dead Japanese trooper in frame and American tank stuck in the ocean in the background. He received the Bronze Star. Yeah, pretty cool looking 45. Not gonna lie to you. Next headline. Space mission got scrubbed yesterday. Yep. DOD is lifting its restrictions on travel, although there's local travel restrictions in place. We talked about that yesterday. We talked about Russian airplanes in Libya. Right? This is an awesome story right here. You'll love it. What do we know? Whenever their lips are moving, what does that mean? They're lying, right? This we know. How do we know the Russians are lying? Their lips are moving. All right, so this is from the Associated Press. This stuff is hilarious. A senior Russian lawmaker on Wednesday strongly rejected the U.S. military's claim that Russia had deployed fighter jets to Libya to support East-based forces in their offensive against the capital, Tripoli. Viktor Bonarev, the former Russian Air Force chief who heads the Defense Committee in the upper house of parliament, dismissed the claim by U.S. Africa Command as stupidity. Quote, "If the warplanes are in Libya, they are Soviet, not Russian." Wait a minute. I thought the Soviet Union went away. Did I miss something? Bondarev noted that several African nations operate the MiG-25 jet fighter, the warplanes of the type seen on a Libyan airfield in images released by AFRICOM. So what are you trying to say? You're trying to say that they're from other African nations? Let me tell you, the way we tend to corroborate that evidence, we tend to like really know what we're talking about before we send it out there. And the picture is probably the least significant of the ways we know that. I'm just saying. Okay? The Russians are the best, right? I mean, just lie their asses off, right? Did anybody fact check that on Twitter, by the way? Oh, that's right. They only selectively apply their standard. Top five stories in early bird. Has not been updated. Since yesterday. So, we're not even going to entertain that. Let me update it. And I get the same thing. So, ain't happening. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenny, and Will Cosentini. And we're going to try to deal with five subjects today. if we're able to do it, it'll be a world's record. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. You want to be around for that. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.